And the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden is set to speak at an event commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. today. So far, he hasn't commented on the five additional pages marked classified that were found at his home in Wilmington, Delaware. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is in Washington.
The Republican-led House Oversight Committee is seeking every shred of evidence connected to this situation. They want every White House email, and they want those emails within the next 2 weeks. The White House hasn't said whether it plans to comply.
In California,
I've seen it flood, but not like that.
People like Jake Gordon, who live in Seal Beach, are bracing for a final round of rain and snow this week. There's dangerous weather in store for other parts of the country as well. Meteorologist Jordan Steele at the Weather Channel.
We have to watch the South yet again. We know what happened just last week. It looks like the target here is going to be the Sabine River up towards the middle part of the Mississippi River Valley. We'll be watching the snow as well, because it does look like we could get some heavy snow around parts of Nebraska up into the Twin Cities.
The search has been called off for the missing after a passenger plane crashed in the foothills of Nepal's Himalaya Mountains. The remains of 69 bodies have been recovered. Crews assume three others aboard are dead as well. Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer.
The Yeti Airlines twin-engine turboprop had begun what air traffic control said was a normal approach to the brand new Pokhara Airport when something went disastrously wrong. Now, an investigation will try to determine what that was.
Search teams have retrieved the flight data and cockpit voice recorders. More drivers are taking the EV plunge. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
One out of every 10 vehicles sold globally was electric. That was pushed up by big EV sales numbers in China, where electrics now make up nearly 20% of the market. In the U.S., the EV market share was just under 6%, but a variety of new products are expected in the coming year.
A college athlete is in custody this morning. CBS's Jim Crisula.
University of Alabama basketball player Darius Miles and another man have been charged with capital murder after a fatal shooting near the campus in Tuscaloosa. The university says the 21-year-old has been removed from the fourth-ranked Crimson Tide. He was a reserve forward.
An Italian movie star is gone. Her agent says Gina Lollobrigida has died at a hospital in Rome. She starred in American movies alongside Humphrey Bogart, Rock Hudson, and Anthony Quinn in the 1956 film The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Poor Quasimodo. Do you think we are going to stay here together all my life?
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Supporters of ranked choice voting say it's the future of democracy. Over 60 jurisdictions in the country have some form of ranked choice voting, which allows voters to put candidates in order of choice instead of voting for a single person. Green Party co-chair Dave Schwab tells Wisconsin Public Radio that ranked choice would also boost third party and independent candidates. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers introduced legislation 2 years ago to make Wisconsin a ranked choice voting state, but it lacked enough support to become law. Packers linebacker Quay Walker fined just over $13,000 by the NFL this weekend for shoving a Detroit Lions trainer during the season finale. A penalty called on Walker set up the Lions' game-winning touchdown. He was also ejected from the game. Walker has apologized. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman.
QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostovsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostovsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams and Sandy. Kevin McCarthy renews calls for spending cuts to raise debt ceiling in today's Wall Street Journal. What is the debt ceiling?
Well, the debt ceiling is the government has to authorize the issuance of its debt for Treasury bonds, essentially. And the Treasury bonds are the way we finance our deficit. And so every year our government operates with a deficit. And so what happens is periodically Congress is called upon to authorize the issuance of debt instruments up to a certain amount. And so 2 years ago this came up, and the Congress enacted a debt limit of $31 trillion, and apparently, round numbers. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. And apparently we're going to hit that number in the next months. And when we hit that number, either we have to stop operating the government at a deficit so we don't have to issue any new debt instruments to finance it, or we have to get a new debt limit. And to date, at least, the government has always behaved as if we need to get a new debt limit. In the past, when we've approached this, it has appeared that what we will have to do is stop issuing paychecks. The Pentagon always says, well, we can't cut ours because we'll have to stop issuing paychecks to the military. And you don't want us to do that. And it's sort of like what happens at a local level whenever there's a public financial crisis. Everyone says we'll have to pull the cops off the street. And so if you can't issue more debt, or if you can't pay off your debt because you've now reached the limit of your expenditures and now debt comes due and you can't pay it off, it's a financial crisis for the country that would seriously erode its status as the world currency. It would seriously potentially affect the creditworthiness of our debt instruments, so we'd have to start paying higher interest on all of our debt, which would have a huge effect on what it costs us to service this $31 trillion of outstanding debt that we have to cover our total national debt. And so it's a huge lever. But the ridiculous part about this dispute is that the dispute is not because we're going to appropriate new dollars. It's because we're reaching this debt limit based on dollars that have already been approved by Congress, and we're simply now having to write the paychecks or otherwise issue the checks to pay for whatever it is that Congress has already authorized. So you would think that we would operate in a manner that the country is authorized to issue whatever debt is necessary to cover whatever Congress has decided we ought to be enacting in law that has a financial cost. That isn't the way it works. Congress can irresponsibly run along the road and authorize any and all kinds of expenditures, and the only time the rubber hits the road with respect to dollars is when this debt limit has to go up. And at that point, Congress can dig in its heels. But, of course, they're digging in their heels to say, yeah, we asked for this money and we spent the money, but now we're not going to pay it back.
You know, so these debt instruments are bonds and are there other instruments?
Well, it's federal debt instruments.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's, I guess, Sandy, when you listen to Kevin McCarthy, who's the new speaker, and others, and he says he made a commitment to the people who voted for him.
Yeah, there's five of those.
I know. that he has to do this.
Right.
And so my response is, what?
Well, the question really is, I mean, so in order to bottle this up, they'll need to have a majority of Congress, unless the Speaker decides that he's not going to let the bill get to Congress, not to let it get voted for, in which case there is another mechanism that can be used where a majority vote can pull the vote, can pull the bill out so that it has to be voted upon and essentially override the decision of the Speaker, who would otherwise control the agenda. So if he doesn't control enough votes in the Republican caucus, they won't be able to accomplish this. But if they can, then everyone understands that this is a very irresponsible lever to pull, very irresponsible. Because what they're doing is, you know, they've been able to go back home to their districts and brag about whatever programs they voted for and whatever they got financed for their local congressional district. And now they're going to basically say, yeah, but we're not going to pay the lenders back who have financed the debt that was caused by the deficit expenditures along the way that financed these things we authorized. Every year's budget has a deficit. That deficit every year is implicitly authorized by Congress in their enactments of the budget and all of the other bills that have an impact on the annual expenditures. So this is, if a household acted like this, they would be pariahs. They would never be able to go to a bank again and borrow money.
So it's safe to say that there are Republicans who disagree with this.
One can hope. One can hope that the caucus would not be unified on this and that they some responsible souls would break rank and not do this, because holding the government hostage on a policy basis. And incidentally, one way to defer this, and Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, has announced this, is to try and pull out all extraordinary means to limit the cash flow that the government is spending over the next months. And they can limit cash flow by deferring expenditures that have otherwise been authorized. It doesn't have to be done by simply eliminating payroll. And there are plenty of things that could be deferred. Many of them are probably in the defense budget, because there's probably more fat in the defense budget than there is any place else. But they'd have to get some people with some courage to go along with deferring expenditures in the places where there is fat in the budget, so that they can essentially forestall this need to increase the debt limit.
Sandy, you know, this is nothing new with saying, you know, the debt limit, is all these bills are going to come due. It's all the time. It happens, I think, every year.
This is like this is like the credit card.
Yes.
Okay, you bought it on your credit card, and now you have to pay it back. And now this is like someone saying, you know what, I'm just not going to do that. Not until you agree with me that I don't have to pay you back that much. I mean, it's something like that kind of negotiation, except in this case, it's basically negotiating with someone to say, now next year you're not going to spend as much as in exchange for me authorizing the payback of this debt that I already I already participated in spending.
And Sandy, to then say, we know where the major expenditures are.
Well, incidentally, one of the major contributions to this debt was the major tax deduction that was voted for predominantly by Republican votes during the Trump administration, because you understand that you don't just run a deficit because you increase your expenditures. You can also run a deficit because you reduce your revenues. And And there was a great deal of revenue reduction that went that occurred in the last 5 years as the result of those tax reductions. And the whole notion of trickle-down, that the economy would expand so much that it would swallow up the reduction in revenues by increased taxes on all the increased earnings, never has come to fruition in the past, and it didn't come to fruition.
You know, when you look at what is being said by the speaker, and he clearly is stating that there are several areas we can look at. Military.
Well, tax increases, incidentally, would be something he didn't list.
No.
but they were you know, there are those who are quick to argue for tax reductions. And everyone understands that one of the strategies is, goes back to Grover Norquist, is you strangle the incoming revenue, and then when push comes to shove, you start hitting at the expenditures and the ones that you want to pit taxes, increased taxes, against, for instance, what they call entitlements. So they're talking about trying to pit it against parts of it, the expenditures associated with Medicare and Medicaid.
And
Social Security.
And so they've also stated that, well, we can talk about maybe the military budget, but, you know, and somebody asked them, well, there are areas that you would think about cutting and wasting the military budget. And his thing was, wokeism. The wokeism part of the military. And I'm like, what?
And how much does that cost?
Yeah. I mean, let me see if I can find it while you're...
Well, you know, the military has been doing work on diversity training and sensitivity training. And it, the same things that corporations across the country have set about doing to try and limit the amount of, for instance, sexual harassment that occurs. And clearly sexual harassment has been a
problem.
Big problem in the military. And so it's that kind of stuff which has now fallen under wokeism. It's labeled political correctism.
Well, here's what McCarthy said. Pointed to the potential reduction in funding to the military for policies he labeled as wokeism. Eliminate all money spent on wokeism. Eliminate the money that they're trying to find different fuels, and they're worried about the environment to go through, Mr. McCarthy said. Oh, so any time that they're looking to address the issues with the environment and alternative fuel ways, we don't want to deal with that. You know, I mean, those are the things we can deal with, right? Those things we want to address. General Mark Miley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has said that he finds the accusation of the military being woke offensive. The Biden administration has said it remains committed to providing Ukraine with military support if it needs to repeal Russia's invasion. The other part of it is they want to cut some resources that would be going to Ukraine.
Well, this is all part of a very artful process in marketing. Make America Great Again appeals to everyone to just look in their bag of nostalgia and look at it and wish for America to be the way they want it. Wokeism, it just the way it was used by DeSantis, is everything you don't like. They don't tell you what it is that constitutes woke. It's just all the policies that you find obnoxious, that's wokeism. But we'll eliminate that part.
But to look at an $858 billion budget for the military and say we want to eliminate wokeism, you know, how many nickels are we talking about? 844-967-2789. Got to go to a break. It's Monday. Mondays with Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crout.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High of 42, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 38. Overcast. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. 40. Cloudy. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, it's easy to say that, okay, who do we owe the debt to? Well, the majority of the people we owe the debt to is not foreigners. It's Americans.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, it's pension funds. It's all kinds of parts of the sectors of the world, sectors of our economies, sectors of our people. But so what? You know, the notion is, you know, we owe this money, and our financial standing is extremely important to the foundation of America. And if our interest goes up, we could easily suffer something close to financial collapse. I mean, if you take the interest rate we pay on our debt and double it, then the service cost to our debt goes up astronomically, and it has a huge effect on our budget. Our economy is currently premised in large part on the fact that we are the world currency. We lose world currency status, and it's a disaster. And it's a disaster for all parts of our economy, including our ability to raise money for defense, those people who think defense is holy. They're playing with fire, and they know they're playing with fire, and they think that they can play, this is like a game of
Russian roulette.
This is chicken in the car. Who's gonna change the course of the automobile as they go hurtling towards each other? And that is a dangerous game to play, particularly when the reason they're playing that way is they want to play with things that matter to a great deal of Americans. You know, we could be talking sensibly about revising Social Security, not limiting it, but we could, you know, wealthy people maybe don't need to receive their Social Security payments. It could become progressive somewhat in the way that it is distributed. That could have an effect. That might be a tolerable thing to look at. But to just talk about it as if what they want to do is tinker with it materially, change the level of the payouts, change it in some way that could have a substantially detrimental impact on many, many people, it's kind of unbelievable.
It's unconscionable, Sandy, yeah. that as people who struggle, and that is a safety net. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, it was designed that way.
Yeah.
It was designed in the 30s, late 30s, in recognition of the fact that when people get old and can no longer be in the workforce, They need to have some means of being protected. The American family system wasn't satisfactory for that. This was something that was initially, initiated, I think, in Germany first, but it became a dominant form of government support out there in the world generally, particularly in developed nations. and it would be remarkable that we would think that in our society, the way it has evolved, we could simply yank money out from under the elderly. And the same is true of Medicare. Medicare was implemented for the same reason. When you get old, two things happen. You can't work and you get sick. Those are inevitable.
You know, Sandy, they are givens, and I don't know, you get to this point almost every year, it's the same discussion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that I think people are focusing on it even more now is because the Republicans are finally back in control, but they can't do anything unilaterally to make this happen. Isn't this just pie in the sky, these ideas that they're talking about?
Well, it is, but it's also evidence of the paralysis in government, the unwillingness to actually set up a bipartisan commission or some sort of a bipartisan process to, for instance, examine Social Security and figure out what the right way is.
Because it does need to be addressed.
Well, it needs to be addressed in some fashion. It's the same way with immigration at the border.
Right.
We have a big problem. Biden is now, he's down at the border saying we have a problem here. Everyone knows we've had a problem. We've had a problem since 1990 or earlier. We've recognized it. We had a problem in 1960. But we just refuse to address it politically. And this failure to address problems politically is causing us to slip off into this direction that begs for either anarchy or autocracy. And I fear that's what's happening across the world. When government gets paralyzed, people don't want that government anymore, and they don't really want no government. You can find out what happens in Libya or Somalia when you don't have government. So the alternative to no government or the government that's paralyzed in a democracy is autocracy, which is kind of what's being served up by the MAGA Republicans.
You know, Sandy, we can hear the pushback from MAGA Republicans who think that government is the worst thing that ever occurred. But if people really took the time out to just look at what government does do for the American people, they would be astounded at how much impact and how much positive impact the government has on our lives.
Well, the interesting thing is that what they're really upset about when there is bureaucracy, right? Bureaucrats.
Right.
And does any country that's run by an autocrat not have a bureaucracy? Of course they have a big bureaucracy. They just have a bureaucracy that's doing the bidding of the autocrat. And it's probably doing the bidding of the autocrat at the expense of what it is the people need. And so what this all is just begging for a government process that isn't frozen in place. And when the Republicans do something like what they're proposing to do now, which is to refuse to approve an increase in the debt limit, what are they doing? They're just talking about freezing in place.
Right.
They're talking about paralysis. They're talking about paralysis as a policy.
Which is not going to, again, benefit the American people. How does it benefit the American people to do what it is they're saying? It does not. But as you stated, it does benefit the wishes of a handful of people who want to feel like they've done something impactful.
Well,
it doesn't really do anything impactful.
Well, what they're saying is we want to play poker with this and we want to buy these other changes in policy.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Mum's the word from President Biden on additional papers found at his home in Wilmington, Delaware, all marked classified. CBS's Jared Hill.
It was a packed kitchen filled with...
That is not Jared Hill. This is...
It was a packed...
All right, we thought it was. After 2 weeks of treacherous weather, parts of California are getting ready for more snow, more rain. They're not the only ones, though. In for some white stuff, the Weather Channel's Jordan Steele.
The interior part of the Northeast does look like you guys will get some snow out of this as well as we work our way over this entire week.
Italian film star Gina Lollobrigida, who starred alongside American actors like Errol Flynn, Anthony Quinn, and Humphrey Bogart, has died.
Don't get so excited. Don't jump to unpleasant conclusions.
Jump, they might as well have drawn a map.
Her agent says Lollobrigida died at a hospital in Rome. She was 95 years old. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Democrats are speaking out against the flat tax proposal Republicans rolled out Friday. Madison State Senator Melissa Agard says it doesn't help the people in Wisconsin who need it most. Right now, the progressive tax rate goes from about 3.5% up to almost 7.7%. The flat tax proposal would make everyone's state income tax rate 3.25% by 2026. Unusually rainy weather in Wisconsin for January today. Winter driving conditions are hazardous in parts of central and northern Wisconsin thanks to freezing rain in the morning. Roads, sidewalks, and parking lots are slippery. It's probably a good idea to give yourself some extra time getting around today. In sports, the Bucks host Indiana this afternoon. Tampa Bay hosts Dallas in the NFL playoffs tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222. Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone line. CJ. Hey CJ, what's going on?
Happy Martin Luther King Day. Love hearing some of his speeches. So, looking forward to hearing more of those from you, Earl. You know, you speak of discourse and wokeism. Wokeism has killed our military recruitment.
Where?
The hate of our military.
Where? How?
What do you mean?
Explain.
Forcing this wokeism crap that doesn't have anything to do with our military.
What is wokeism?
The hate that...
Well, I mean, I'm trying to understand. What do they mean by wokeism?
You want to hear my answer?
Yeah,
though?
Tell me what wokeism.
That's what you do. You ask me a question, and Sandy, you talk over me. But
go ahead.
No,
I'm just asking you. Well, what is wokeism? What do you mean? Tell me what that is.
That's Earl, CJ. That's not Sandy.
Just tell me what that is, so I can understand.
The things that they're making us, that the military is forcing,
like what,
our soldiers to learn,
like what
about the hate of America. You know,
they're not doing that in the military.
Oh my gosh!
I've got.
You need to do more research, Earl.
CJ,
because the mere fact is,
I don't need to do research. I've got friends who are in the military, ranking friends, and they disavow that they're teaching people about.
It's the military, Earl. It's the military recruitment at its lowest point in 40 years.
Yeah, you know why.
Yeah, I do know why.
Wokeism?
Because the Democrats have taught the kids to hate America and our military, period. Okay, but I would like to know, Sandy and Earl, who was the gentleman you had on last Friday about that taught you about wokeism of China?
What was
his name?
His last name was Wheeler. I think it was Scott Wheeler.
He was amazing. Because I would love for you to replay that interview. I don't know if you two re-listened to it.
All you have to do is go
on. But that man was amazing on facts, because it's not what we want China to do. It's what China is promising to do. And I was on hold for 45 minutes. You let Cassandra ask a question. I wasn't able to ask him a question, but I would like you to answer. How many acres of land has China purchased from us in the last, say, 5 to 10 years?
Are you talking about acreage of farmland and other commercial real estate in the United States?
Near our military establishment.
Well,
as a matter of fact.
First of all, I'm not sure it's the Chinese government. I think it's Chinese nationals, and I think Chinese nationals have played.
That's just the point,
played,
Earl.
They've played,
or Sandy.
Well,
that's the point.
They've played a big.
He told you it is the China government. Okay. It's not companies.
Okay.
When are you going to learn? He taught you wokeism about China. You need to do some more research. It's what China communist government is promising in their statements, in their actions, in their beliefs, and you want to believe in Kumbaya China. And this president, President Biden, is bought and paid for, and his family, by China. When are you going to stop defending and actually do some research, Sandy?
Well, let me say this. Have you ever been to China, CJ?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Sandy has.
I think going to a country doesn't get you all the way to knowledge about it. But I also don't think that listening to one person on the radio who has a particular axe to grind.
Yeah.
he works for a network that is heavily funded. He works for a network that's for a station that's totally funded by a Taiwanese. And they have that Taiwanese person has a particular bent on this, which incidentally is not shared by all of them. The head of Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company, has an entirely different view of the situation with mainland China. Look, I don't think mainland China is a place, or is it a government that I would necessarily want to live under. That doesn't necessarily, however, convert to the notion that we ought to create a defense budget that is aimed at carrying out a war with China and over Taiwan. You know, the costs associated with that and the U.S. national interest associated with that don't jibe. And the logistical issues associated with trying to do that are impossible to fathom. And also the history behind it doesn't square. So, I'll read any and all things. I'll do any and all research. But what I've done so far, first of all, I don't understand the word wokeism. It strikes me that it's a word that can be used for now for anything that anyone doesn't like. If you spell woke with a capital W, apparently it encompasses all things that someone who you disagree with is adopting as a theory. and is adopting as an outlook. And I think that's a problem. I think we ought to talk about actual things. And wokeism is a strange term. I didn't even know what it means.
And neither does CJ. But
and however, I don't square. I don't think I agree with anyone about everything. That's just. I think we all ought to think for ourselves. And I hope I pride on myself that hopefully I do that.
You know, it is more than frustrating. To continue to hear the fact that somebody believes that because somebody believes that China is who they are, that we need to be preparing for World War III with China. There's nothing I see that makes me believe that it's imminent. We should be going to World War III with China.
There was a time when the Japanese were heavily investing in real estate in the United States, and foreign investment in real estate in the United States has been ongoing for quite a while. Corporate farming in the United States has been carried out by European farm interests for quite a while. So, you know, the mere fact that foreigners might purchase real estate in the United States is not an ipso facto proof of nefarious purpose. And so I have a problem with that.
But I would also ask the question, Sandy, if in fact, just like back in the early 1980s, when the Japanese were buying up America,
mm-hmm.
It's for sale. There are parts of our country that's for sale. Well, nobody says, especially the people who are selling it, you can only be an American to buy it, right? I mean, come on.
No, well, that's true. And people operate in the marketplaces around the world. Americans invest all over the world. And I don't believe we're doing it for nefarious purposes. I think each person who makes that investment is doing it for their own economic purposes. And so, this is another case of connecting the dots. Someone saying that Chinese interests have bought however many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars worth or acres of real estate in the United States does not ipso facto prove anything. What it proves is that China, being the second largest economy, has a very substantial number of very wealthy financial entities and people who are in a position to make international real estate investments. And incidentally, the United States is probably the safest and most reasonable place to make real estate investments.
All right, let's go to Jacob from Eureka. Good morning, Jacob. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Earl? Hey, you know, the next time that brainwashed bonehead calls in, how about he tell us over the past 5 or 10 years, since he likes to ask questions that we're supposed to answer. Hey, CJ, how about you answer this? Over the last 5 or 10 years, how many properties has Donald Trump and his criminal children sold to the Russian mafia and to the Russian intelligence services? We want to talk about real estate transactions. Let's talk about Russian real estate transactions with the Trump family. You know, we're not going to war with China. Christ, China is like our biggest trading partner. Give me a break. It's Russia who's at war against the Ukrainian civilians, murdering them by the tens of thousands. But Republicans, oh, they love that. They love Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's their idea of what they want in a president. They're not going to get Donald Trump again, so maybe they can get a Putin clone like DeSantis out of Florida. You know, I've had it with guys like CJ who clearly are full-blown racists, okay? You know, they're trying to distract us from the real issue at hand with our foreign policy, which is dealing with the Russians, because they love the Russian government. They love fascism. They love war crimes. You know, CJ's upset that, you know, recruitment's down in the military. Well, if you Republicans keep starting these stupid wars for oil, guess what? No one's going to want to join the military, idiots.
Well, the reason that there are less and less people joining the military isn't because of wokeism. The reason that less and less people are joining the military is they're fearful that they're going to wind up in Afghanistan or Iraq. Or else,
the third time.
Oh yeah, or somewhere else where they may be, you know, they may lose their lives. The truth of the matter is, Sandy, there was a time when young guys went to the military because it was, if you didn't know what you wanted to do with your life, it was a great opportunity to see the world before you got started with your life. It certainly taught you discipline. And so parents didn't mind if their sons joined the military. Sometimes you had children, sons that were wayward, and the military was a good place to have them go and learn to become a man.
Well, I think the profile of those who join the military, who volunteer for it, has been a complex issue for quite a while. And some of it relates to poverty. And there's no question that the profile of those who volunteer is a social democratic cut of the country that's different than the average. And it's a very complex issue. And to answer, to simply be able to smile and laugh derisively and say that it's the result of the military teaching wokeism is to one, simplify, and two, to falsify the discussion to the point of not being worth having.
Right.
I don't know enough about it, and either does CJ and either does anyone on this call know enough about what it is that is attracting people to the military and what it is that has failed to attract them recently. But I'm confident that it has to do with a whole mix of economic and social and moral views of things that has affected the age group of people who might otherwise volunteer for the military. And I would simply remind CJ that when he was young, I think, unless he's older than I think or younger than I think, and when I was young, we all got drafted.
Right.
And the volunteer military was a very, very small part of the number of people who served in the military. And so the military has never been viewed necessarily as an attractive option for lots of people. And that's why we had drafts, because it was not fundamentally attractive to put your life at risk for any reason. And the government was, and America is probably the highest purpose for that, but it's not something we are in line to do.
Thank you very much for the call, Jacob. Tom from L.A., what do you say? Good morning.
Hey, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that means all of us. Second, happy Martin Luther King Day. I hope that everyone really listens to the two America speech that you played the other day, because that was absolutely incredible. Not just I Have a Dream. Guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know what this wokeism is or woke is. I think it, to me, I thought it meant that you're aware of something. You're awake. You're aware of something. And it's like the Republicans once again have changed words and made up their own definition, and they've actually changed the language, which is really, really quite amazing. I don't know if that's a word for political correctness or what it is, but can someone explain to me what woke is? Because honestly, I don't even understand what it is.
Hey, Tom, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, and neither do the people who use it. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Well,
fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underly said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 42. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Lows around 38. Cloudy. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 40. Cloudy skies expected. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go back to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Tom, yes, sir.
Well, like I said, I have no idea what wokeism means. I think we should all be awake of what's going on in our country. We should all be awake of the money and politics and how that's destroying our democracy, and media and politics everywhere. Greed, one of the seven deadly sins, which we pretty much have hit all of them, is being displayed. And I just don't understand why someone like CJ can come on and be so angry. I mean, I really so happy I don't live in his body.
Man, I'm really tired of I'm really tired of hearing CJ's name mentioned. He's not.
Yeah, I agree with you, Earl.
He's not a star, and yet we keep making him that.
No, I agree with you, but my point is that, you know what? What he's hearing, obviously, is what the rest of these right-wing hate radio is promoting all day long. And so I think he's an example of what it is that they're actually saying, and it gives us a chance to actually respond back, because the whole media industrial complex is owned by the corporations, and the corporations want us all fighting each other so they can continue to steal our money out the back door. And CJ is a perfect example of that. I mean, I'm guessing that he probably doesn't make over $100,000 a year. I don't know. But he's somebody that votes against his best interest. Nor do I care, but I do care about these people that say certain things, and they're not even making enough money to, they're voting against their best interest all the time. And I don't understand that. But like I said, if you guys have a definition for me for woke, I would love to have it, because pick an abstract word. Is that what they do? And then first off, if the Republicans are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it. So that's projection 101.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Maybe it's an acronym for without knowledge about anything or everything. That would be woke, right? W-O-K-E?
Sandy, let's see if Michael from Delavan might know. Good morning to you. Mike, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, as a actual post 9/11 veteran with the Marine Corps, I was personally deployed 3 times. Last stint was in Afghanistan. And with regards to the military, one, again, I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, this wokeism, I think it's a term that's been really, frankly, I mean, you got people that will talk about it and, trying to understand more clarity on more groups, just on the different affinity groups that have come out, LGBTQ, and, that acronym seems to be getting longer. But then now it's almost, this bashing of that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it ever was. And then, anytime that some other group tries to get, a little bit more acknowledgement for, hey, we're not part of what it used to be, and we want to have a voice like everybody else, but then you have, especially on the extremist of the right wing, going, no, we're going to discredit you, you don't belong here, and, you know, and especially, too, there are a lot of those stereotypes in the military. You know, I personally kind of ran into it a little bit myself, just because, you know, what I thought that, you know, being in the military and being post 9/11, there was a lot of us that, you know, did enlist because of the fact of 9/11. And when that happened, we were either, you know, in middle school or early high school and, you know, really wanting to, you know, a little, maybe on the sake of revenge, but just the fact of, hey, this happened when we were young. We weren't able to do anything then, but now we are 18. We understand more about what's going on, and we want to go back and defend our country.
So Mike, let me ask you, man, because there are less people willing to join the military today than there were, as you stated, back when you were, you know, a young man in the military. But you can't. But as Sandy said, there are many different reasons why that is the way it is. Clearly, over the last, I don't know, Sandy, what, 14 years, the economy has been doing really well, and people could find really decent jobs during that period of time.
Well, sure. I mean, my understanding of the profile of people who have volunteered for the military is that there's a fair portion of them who are volunteering because they are seeking an economic, you know, they're at a point in their life where jobs are not easy to find. They think they can get training in the military and they're going to pursue that, which they can. And but if the private sector is going to offer up those same opportunities, then it's in competition with the military. And so all I'm saying is that absent a lot more knowledge, firsthand knowledge and knowledge maybe done by professional polling and everything, I have no understanding of why it is that the volunteer rate has gone down. But I can certainly believe that there are many reasons for it that are not related to wokeism.
Michael?
Yep.
Yeah, so
Go ahead. I would say overall with the military, I know that when I served between 2007 and 12, there was a major increase just to the Marine Corps alone because of the simple fact that, you know, we after the initial Iraq wars with Desert Storm, you know, we were kind of drawing down. There's miscellaneous missions going on. But then once 9/11 happened and we actually began again in Iraq, there was a major need for a lot of troops. And then when, you know, 07 and 08 came around, they again needed a lot more troops because of the fact that these people that had served were already had done either.
Well, yeah, I mean,
please, they had to a certain degree had enough of it, and they knew that they were going to lose some of those veteran people, so there was the increase. And then, you know, just in my time alone, in the military, yep.
I'm sorry, we got to run, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's not a-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.